KLC AM Indianapolis.
Indy's choice for inspiration and praise.
AM 1310, The Light.
Welcome back to the second half of Afternoons with Amos. I'm Amos Brown. Glad to have you here. The 7th Congressional District is most of Indianapolis and Marion County. It is all of Decatur, Franklin, Perry, Warren, Wayne, and Center Townships, and a good portion of Pike Township, Washington Township, and Lawrence Township. The Republican candidate on the ballot November the 4th is Catherine Cat Ping. She is live in our studio again. Welcome. Glad to have you.
Thank you, Amos. Thank you for inviting me back to your show. I really enjoyed the first one.
We enjoyed having you. So for those who aren't familiar with you, or to remind those who didn't hear when you were here with us in the spring, why are you running for Congress?
Again, I love this question because it makes me pause to remember why I did this, because the campaign trail has been a long one. But I think it's something that can resonate with most people. It came to a point where I was just tired of it. I was just fed up. I watched and I watched and I waited to see if somebody would step up to the plate and offer themselves up as a candidate for the Republican Party who I felt would be electable and do a good job. And I kept seeing a void, and I kept seeing people who were not what I would term really electable and who actually resonated with the people. So for that standpoint, I said, you know what, I'm just going to stop talking about it. I'm going to be proactive and do something, and I put myself out there.
If you were elected to Congress, what would be your priorities when you took the oath in January? So if you win on November the 4th and you become the Congresswoman from the 7th Congressional District, what would be your priorities in Washington?
Well, my priorities, I feel like, are twofold. Most and first and foremost would be to represent the people of my own district. And the city of Indianapolis is predominantly my district. And we're not just one type of demographic. We are, I like to think of variety or varied demographic here in Indianapolis. And yeah. So I like to think that I encompass all of the people, and I would want to be a representative for all of the demographics of my district, and not just cherry pick and hand select those that I feel the most comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. Some issues, and I think as we were going off the air with the folks from Workforce Development, a caller called in with a question, a very simple question, but it involves rules of the federal government, and that is somebody, an older worker, worked for a number of years, was laid off from their job after 14 years. She's getting unemployment, but she saved up her retirement in a 401k, a pension. But if she tried to tap that to pay her bills, then they would cut her off from unemployment. Where does a Cat Ping or a Congresswoman Cat Ping feel about that?
Well, I am familiar with that, and I don't agree with that because it penalizes the person because they're in a position where they're forced to have to make that hard choice where they rather would not have to dip into that 401k or that IRA. But this is an isolated time or a situation. This has been going on for quite some time, and it's considered earned income, and as such, it then becomes taxable.
Right.
And so, therefore, that's why they diminish or do away with whatever earnings their unemployment check would have provided otherwise.
Mm.
The same can be said, though, for people who are in limited income categories, and they go and seek government assistant aid from the different department and agencies, whether it be for food stamps or for Medicaid or for whatever. And that strikes everybody across the county and in the district. And it doesn't just affect one age group or one demographic. It affects everybody. If you're what I would term in the at-risk economic social structure of our community. And all we do as a government then is we force our less economic people to actually have a means to escape their environment, to actually excel and feel like good and positive directions are going to come their way, because they're always beating themselves against the wall there. And so I am a proponent for, let's stop doing that. Let's stop, actually, it's kind of a form of government abuse, in my opinion. I've seen it happen not only to people that, right, your listener, but friends and family of my own. And it's not just current time. I'm a little older than my opponent. So I lived through the earlier recession of the 70s and 80s. Mm-hmm. And my own family had a serious impact to the point where I watched it kill my father. My father died on a crash board because the stress was too much. Mm-hmm. My mom would have to stand in line to get the cheese. Okay? Mm-hmm. Some people don't even know what that means. But there used to be long lines to go get government cheese.
Right.
And that would tell you the circumstances that I am familiar with. So I really, really understand where some of your listeners are tuning in at.
239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoon's Namus. We're talking with Kat Ping, the Republican candidate for 7th District Congress. You served our country for over two decades in our armed forces, in our military. I believe you retired as a lieutenant colonel, if I'm correct.
I served for over three decades, 33 years.
3 years, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. That's okay.
It was a long time, but a great period of service, and thank you for that service.
Thank you.
The next Congress is going to have to deal with how do we help the administration deal with ISIS, to deal with these real, real bad guys over there.
Mm-hmm.
And more importantly, how do we pay for it? So a couple of questions on that. Should we put boots on the ground, American ground troops in Iraq and Syria and goodness knows where else to try to take these ISIS folk out?
Okay, I'd like to give you a really, really confirmed, definite answer to that, but my military training, especially as a strategic tactical instructor,
mm-hmm.
Cautions me to tell your people, the listeners in my right. Constituents here in the 7th District, that it's a lot more involved than just coming up with a really quick answer on that.
Okay.
The first and foremost thing is that we should never have really withdrawn the troops out to the point and extent that we did,
mm-hmm.
and then secondly announced that we were going to do it,
mm-hmm.
because all we did was we gave a bunch of intel away to the then developing ISIS terrorist organization,
right.
and that gave them the timetables of which they knew to formulate their own plan, strategize, and then occupy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so now we're in a reactionary mode as a consequence to these actions that were taken. And they were publicized actions, which when we went in and the president made his big announcement a few weeks back that we're going to do airstrikes, mm-hmm. and have certain specific targets. Well, he was then again telling the ISIS terrorist organization what we were going to do. And you know what? They're very light. And what I mean by that is they're very light in mobility. It doesn't take them long to what we would call jump a talk.
Right.
And that would be tear down their tents or whatever it is and go move to some other location where there's no current intel on them.
Mm-hmm.
So the targets that they probably had intel on were so soft that they're almost non-existent now.
Is it fair to say they're like ghosts? Is that a good terminology to use?
Well, yeah, because they're very smart. I mean, people have been underestimating them. They've been growing and growing and growing, and they have more than just a grassroots system in place. They're making money hand over fist.
Mm-hmm.
They have a great money laundering operandi going on,
mm-hmm.
and because they're well funded in that regard, and they don't have what we would call heavy movers,
right.
Which is your traditional tactical
right.
elements, which
right.
would be heavy mechanized.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. They have vehicles. They have lightweight vehicles. They have shoulder armed, ground to air defense artillery kind of pieces,
mm-hmm.
that's man portable kind of thing, and their
right.
radios. So they can just pop up their tents, fold them up, and then move out and then go reset someplace else. And they don't put off a big heat signature for us to find them that quickly on the global satellite system.
With all the stuff that we have. So here's the other question. So obviously this is expensive to do whatever we're doing, whether it's airstrikes, whether it's more, whether it is, even though we say we don't have boots on the ground, there might be some, that kind of situation. How do we pay for it? And if we're going to not raise revenue to have a temporary get rid of ISIS tax to raise the extra money to take these guys out, then what do we cut in order to not get the deficit out of whack? I mean, it's already out of whack. We've gotten some of the deficit down. But, how then do we do that?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that. You might remember from the previous show when I was on, I have some ideas on that.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, we don't necessarily need to raise any taxes. Actually, we should try to look in ways of streamlining our government, because our government is what's eating up our tax dollars because it is so large. And then again, your listeners were concerned with my idea of streamlining it. Would that be cutting out the services for the people? Well, no, because the entities and agencies that I'm talking about streamlining are the ones that put a lot of regulatory clamps down on industry that stifles job and you know, initiatives. Right. And they're the ones that we want to bolster and stimulate them to grow and hire more people. So I'm talking about we need to find ways to loosen up those regulatory clamps that have been put on our energy and on our manufacturing and be a more dominant, once again, be more dominant on the global market as far as manufacturing is concerned and pump up our sales and stimulate our economy and also reduce our main large government entities that don't provide services down to the people. They just hamper simulation.
And always with our candidates, it's not about me, it's about all of you listening at 239-1310 or send me an email at praiseindia.com or a text message at 37890, keyword Amos. Let me go to Doris with Republican candidate in the 7th Congressional District, Kat Ping. Hi, Doris.
Hi, how are you, Amos? Your guest, too. Can you, I like your guest to answer, does he support Obamacare?
Do you support Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act?
Ma'am, I support aspects of it, but overall I do not, because I don't see where it's going to end well for the people in the long run. I try to be a visionary as far as I'm a future planner. That's what I've been trained to do in the military, and everything that I've been reading and learning and observing is telling me that it's not really going to turn out the way everybody had hoped. I think we're starting to see the trickle down effect of that very thing I'm talking about. But I do like some aspects of it. I like the fact that people of prior existing conditions are no longer going to be penalized, and that there should be coverage for everyone. I agree with that. But I'm seeing an impact with our medical professionals who are getting out of the business. And what I mean by that, doctors are not practicing anymore. They're closing up shop. I have a client of my own that left a big health network because they would be in charge $14,000 a month just to stay within that Obamacare health network. They couldn't afford it. So when things like that start happening and escalating, then that means there's going to be fewer and fewer medical providers for people like us who really need them. And that shortage is going to create a crisis.
Let me go to Ron at 239-1310. Hi there. Ron?
I'm fine. I just got two quick questions to ask to
the candidate. Okay.
Ma'am, I've served in the military also. My first question is, well, I guess it's a question. You do realize that the plan to withdraw soldiers from Baghdad was done under the Bush administration. And we just can't, you being a career military person, you also know that it makes no sense to stay in the country without a status of forces agreement, and that the Obama administration couldn't force a status of forces agreement down the throat. These guys from ISIS also are former Iraqi Sunni military, okay? So, yeah, I agree with you. They know how to operate a jump talk because they were taught, some of them were taught by us. My final question is, since you are discussing regulations, the regulation industry, what is your position on global warming? Because, you know, there's got to be, you know, you can go no further than Los Angeles, California, and all the smog there from the industry. So what is your position on global warming?
Well, okay, first, if I could, I'd like to just address a moment briefly on your first topic say that I do know that it was under Bush administration, but that doesn't mean that I agreed with the Bush administration. Okay.
No, I didn't say that.
Okay. Because I was not a proponent for even going in and attacking Iraq. I was totally against that. But since we did, I mean, that was the outcome. And then for global warming, I think a whole lot of hyperbole is being made around global warming. I think there are some proponents that have some viability to their position on global warming. But by and large, when I see here in the Hoosier State and here in Indianapolis, where our summers have been cooler, our pools have not been as filled with hot summer fun, and our winters have been extremely cold, and this year is set to be even a colder one, I'm just not totally on board with the whole global warming thing. I think some people saw that because there was some years where we had some really, really hot summers, and I agree right. with that. But then they took it to the extreme, and they're making money off of it now to some
okay,
extent.
Okay, and I'll go, and then I'll hang up after this. I understand what you're saying, okay, and you've spoken like a true soldier, and I love that, okay. Here's the thing, okay. There are very few scientists, okay, that could tell you how to put a maneuver element in the field, okay, to conduct an operation, okay. And on the same token, there are very few of us soldiers, present and former soldiers, that could tell a dedicated environmental scientist, okay, that global warming is hyperbore. You see, that's where we disagree. Other than that, you know, I'm always for soldiers. So thank you very much.
And Ron, thank you. And thank you for your service to our country as well. 239-1310. 239-1310 is Fast News Namus. We're with Kat Ping, the Republican candidate, 7th District Congress in the House tomorrow. We've got Mike Bolin in the first hour, Democratic candidate for Indiana State Treasurer. Second hour, Beth White, Democratic candidate for Indiana Secretary of State. And next week, next Tuesday and Wednesday, the candidates for IPS School Board. That's going to be off the chain. We'll be back with more after these.
This is Mark Crouch, station manager, WCLJ-TV, Trinity Broadcasting Network. And you are listening to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light. Indy's source for inspiration and praise.
Back to the phones with Kat Ping, the Republican candidate for 7th District Congress, and Bobby. Hi there.
I'd like to know how you feel about the unions, and number two, how do you feel about wage increase?
How you feel about the unions, Kat Ping, and wage increases, and I'm going to add minimum wage increase.
Okay. I've been talking to some union members, and I've been trying to get in to talk to some of the union shops, especially within Allison's and such. I'm not anti-union. I recognize that there is definitely a need and a place for unions within the workforce across the country, not just here in Indianapolis. The unions help keep corporate America honest. They help keep them doing the right things for our people. We need them. But then again, the unions need to also work hand in glove with our corporate, companies, who they go and support and work for. So it's a relationship. And I'm all about, garnering and influence that relationship to make it stronger so that we come to the table and talk about things that have been a hindrance maybe in the past and put differences aside so we can get our workforce back to working and made in America back on the labels in our shelves in our communities.
Right to work, you would do something to repeal that, to get rid of it, to bring it back to the old, so the unions be strong again?
That's something I've kind of been weighing over. I'm not been a huge proponent, but that's something I wanted to discuss. So I don't really have a strong position on that other than I have looked at it. I've seen the pros and cons, and I'd like to talk to the unions about that.
All right. The other thing is, on the raising the minimum wage, there are some that says we need to raise the minimum wage. $10.10 has been thrown around. Should the minimum wage be increased?
Well, I noticed that Andre did, agree with that, and I'm not too opposed to the $1.10, but because that was like proposed out into 2015, I think it is, and I think there was kind of like a spike here just recently, at least some parts of the country, mm-hmm. and I think there is going to be a need because let's face it, the gap is getting wider.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the haves and the have-nots are really starting to suffer a lot more than they have in the past because the cost of living just exponentially keeps going up. So we have to do something to help people to be able to even afford groceries anymore. The minimum wage discussion, though, needs to be considered in terms of look at the impact that it's going to do for the small businesses, though,
mm-hmm.
because they're the ones that really and truly right now are the backbone of this country where manufacturing once was. It is now the small business owner across the nation that is the backbone of our economic fluidity, if you would, in our communities. If we put the price on minimum wage so high, mm-hmm. what it will essentially do, and I'm speaking as a small business owner myself, when you do that for me, then I can only afford to hire so many people. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because we end up having to pass that increase of cost of overhead to our customers or our clients. And then, therefore, they're not as willing to spend money. Okay? So that reduces my revenue to be able to hire more people.
Let me go. Appreciate it, Bobby. Let me go to Larry at 239-1310. Hi there.
I got a couple questions. I'd just like to ask her, what does she think about the immigration problem wherein we're allowing people to come in this country from every country around the world when we have in the black community almost a 50% unemployment rate and so many people that are unemployable? Would you continue to leave the borders open and continue to let people come in here and take the menial jobs that maybe some colored people are going to take because they don't have any other alternative? And also, are you for were you a vote for right to work? And the other thing is, do you believe what our government is telling us now about ISIS? How can you bivouac some terrorist organization without being blown to smithereens? How can you transfer in a caravan across the desert with your pickup trucks right out in the open without having a drone strike on you? I mean, people, I just address the audience, Amos. People are so stupid and gullible that they will believe anything. You cannot have a terrorist group like ISIS because they have the funding they have. You got computers. You can cut them off anytime.
Right,
you know where they're bivouac.
You bomb their nest, and that's it. You've asked three great questions. Let me let Cat Pig respond.
Okay.
His first was on immigration.
I'm against amnesty. Mm-hmm. I am hugely against amnesty, and it's not because I have anything against the people who are immigrants wanting to find a better life for themselves. Obviously, our country's founded on that. However, it goes back to what this gentleman was saying, that when we have such an influx or flooding of immigrants over a short span of time, where are they going to go? How are we going to provide for them? They're indigent. Mm-hmm. Okay, they're homeless, they're indigent, and a lot of these immigrants are children who have, for whatever reason, have decided that their parents are going to let them just cross our borders with other children, without adults. And what do you do with children? It'd be the same question we ask our own people in our own community. What are you going to do with these children? Mm-hmm. Whether they're immigrant children or not, what are you going to do with them? So I would absolutely close our borders. That's the first and foremost thing. We do have laws on the book. On the books, and some of them have been pretty good laws. Unfortunately, we haven't really been putting them to the test because we haven't been exercising them, which means that's why all these immigrants are being able to just flood across. Mm-hmm. Okay, and you're right. A lot of the jobs and a lot of the money and the benefits that normally are earmarked to go to the citizens in our communities, because our tax dollars are supposed to go towards our own communities and our own residents, they're going to get short shrift. Okay, because some of that money is obviously going to have to be diverted to doing something with all the mass amount of people. Yeah. Now, I've read that some of these people, and a good number of them, have already been absorbed within the interior of the United States. Yeah. And so, unfortunately, it's going to be hard to track them down and be able to repatriate these children with their families. And I think what's going to happen is you're going to see another influx or wave of adults coming in wanting to repatriate with their children and establish a home.
I think the other part of the question, this is the second question on right to work. If you are successful in winning on November the 4th, and if Republicans take control of the Senate, they might try to pass a national right to work bill. So far, right to work has been an issue decided in different states. If that came before you, would you support a federal right to work law?
I've leaned toward supporting it, only because of the way it's currently been written, because I don't think it really is going to serve the purpose and the needs of the people.
Mm-hmm.
I would advocate for a form of a right to work, but not in the current form that it's been written.
Let me go back to the phones and Rose at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos, and you're your guest.
Hi.
I had one question to ask her. They're talking about this union and the right to not join unions.
Yeah.
But is she aware of the fact that those of us who've been retired maybe 15, 20 years, these unions have agreed with the insurance companies that had our life insurance. They have agreement with them to counsel us, and we have to take them over. And they costs more than $100-some a month. And there's, you can't sue them. They made whatever kind of agreement they made. They said we can't take a class action against them or anything. Is she aware of anything like that? I know they keep talking union, but the union takes away so much from you once you retire. That was all I wanted to know.
All right. You were, see, this is why we're on a program like this. The candidates learn issues they may not have been familiar with.
No, and that's a very good question, ma'am, and I'm glad you asked that, but I was not aware of that. But then again, I've been trying to get in to speak to some of the union bosses here locally to learn more about what's really going on and what the impacts are.
Well, this is the IBEW, but also some more unions are doing it. And it seemed to be anyone trying to do anything about it. They cancel our insurance. They're not paying them anymore. We got a letter about 5 years after they had already made the agreement with the union. And the fact that they
Is this your life insurance or medical?
Life insurance.
So you're now responsible for paying the premium on your life insurance?
Yes. You have, if you want it, you got to take it and pay the monthly.
Which is usually higher because you're paying the company part and then the individual part.
Ma'am, did this occur after the reorganization or restructure of like GM?
Well, let me put it this way. There was RCA, GE, GM, Ford. There's a bunch of other groups have gotten together. I came from RCA, GE, Thompson.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I've been retired for 22 years. There are many that retired since I have. But 2 years ago, we received a letter saying that they were no longer going to pay our insurance premium.
For the life insurance.
For the life insurance. Mm-hmm. And if we want it, we have to pay it. And it's $100-some. They didn't give us any money. They reduced it from $36,000 down to $7,000.
That's your coverage?
That was life insurance.
Down from 36 to 7?
Yes.
Sound like a lawsuit to me.
Well, you can't get a lawsuit because the union made an agreement that nobody can sue them. Whatever they did. They worked on it for about 5 years before we knew anything about it. But when we found out about it and got the letter, it was already done.
I don't even think that really covers cost, does it?
I don't know what kind of cost. No, it's not going to cover cost because the funerals cost more than that.
That's what I'm saying.
The thing is that we worked. They took part of pay raises that we thought was going into the life insurance.
Mm-hmm.
They were supposed to take a portion of our raise, and we were supposed to get a portion of it to put into life insurance. We paid it all those years. Now that we're retired, they have canceled us, and there's no way to sue them. The union has some kind of agreement with them. This is IBEW.
Mm-hmm.
All right, see the things we learn on this program. We appreciate that. Let me go to Karen right quick, then we'll take a break at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hello, Amos and your guest. I have a question I've always wanted to ask the congressperson or the one that's running.
Mm-hmm.
There's a law on the books. It's a state law, and I've called the show off and on throughout the years. The state law overrides the federal law. And I would like to understand how that's possible as it pertains to the fact I was married 18 years. The military awarded me a certain portion of my husband's retirement. He came after about 4 years and had it removed. After paying tons of attorneys, I had one attorney to finally tell me that the state of Indiana does not recognize you as forced retirement, even though the federal government and the military does. The state of Indiana says I should have been married 20 and not 18 years. How is that that this state law is in place and overrides the federal law? And you got to keep in mind, when I got my divorce, there was a judge that awarded me this retirement. It would seem he should have known what was on the books.
So if I understand you correctly, when you got your divorce, you wanted to have part of your husband's retirement, and he said that you weren't allowed it because you weren't married long enough?
No, we went to court. I proved that we were married 18 years. The judge determined once he's retired, he has to give me a portion of his retirement.
Right.
Once he retired, I follow procedures as the military instructed me. I send my divorce decree as well as my marriage license.
Right.
They started sending me a check. I got this check for about 5 years. I never got served any papers. I was out of town. I came back, and I got a letter stating I would no longer be receiving a portion of my husband's retirement. So I started getting attorneys. You know how that goes. You pay all this money. And finally, one attorney wouldn't accept my money. He said, I found out that the state of Indiana, you have to be married 20 years and not the normal 10 to 18 years. But that's, so I'm not understanding how the military says I am deserving, but my state of Indiana says I'm not.
Well, I'd like to know when that law was written from the state of Indiana, because if it was written after your divorce, then you should have been grandfathered in. But then again, the provision...
Tell me it's always been on the book.
Not that I've ever heard.
Well, is there any way, can you suggest to me who I need to contact? Because I've been dealing with this now for over 10 years trying to get a true answer. If I find out I'm not qualified, that's okay. I just need to know why they took it and why these attorneys keep telling me. After I spent plenty of money, except this one, he finally said, as I said, I will not represent you because you're wasting your money. The state of Indiana does not recognize the 10-year rule. So can you direct me where I need to go?
I'm beginning to wonder because the marriage laws are state, and that's what the whole other marriage argument has been the last few years that the Supreme Court ruled the other day. I'm wondering whether that's why it overrides the military policy, is that you have to follow the law of the state.
Well, and she's saying that there's no such law. Is there a way I can find out once and for all?
Well,
I'm satisfied with the answer, because some say it is and some say it's not, and I've spent quite a bit of money trying to find out.
Okay, well, first, if there's a federal law that states that you're entitled to it,
not a military regulation, a federal law.
A federal law, right. Then the state, if they're going to try to trump the federal law, then they have to have a basis for which, you know, they feel that they have a firm ground to trump it, because normally they don't in issues like that.
Unless it's the judge here in the state of Indiana awarded it to me.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get at. You've had all this legal award that the judge awarded it to you. The judge should have known whether or not that was, you know, state constitutionally sound to award that to you. Okay, that was his job to find that out. I would really question this, and I push back, and I would ask your state senator and representative. I don't know what district you're in for the state, but you need to contact them and ask them what they can find out for you.
Okay.
And if you don't get the satisfaction from them, go to the state adjutant general.
Okay, state adjutant general.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you so much for directing me. Something I can do.
All right, thank you. We appreciate it. We'll be back with our Many Moments with Kat Ping, the Republican candidate for 7th District Congress, after these.
Hello, this is Pastor Michael K. Jones, and you're listening to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
Let me quickly go to Dave with Republican candidate Kat Ping. Hi, Dave.
How you doing, Amos?
Fine.
I really like your guest. I think she's pretty much got everything right on order. You know, jobs get rid of a lot of problems. The more jobs you can get, the better off to the federal government, more income coming in, and higher wages for individuals because of the just more demand for more people, so the better people are going to get more wages. And I would just bolster your guess that global temperatures haven't gone up in the last 15 years, and every one of these climate models that these climatologists say are what's going to happen, they've never, ever been right, never. And just don't be afraid to just say it. I mean, there's no evidence of any kind of global warming. Zero, none.
All right,
seas haven't risen. And the temperature isn't going up.
All right, I appreciate it. Kat Ping, you have been out in this district all over the place, this race. What is the mood of voters? Where all these people in Washington are saying nobody's going to go out and vote and it's boring and everybody's going to stay home. You've been out there. What's your feel?
First, if I would like to make a correction for the lady earlier, I gave her misinformation. I was thinking, with my military brain and not my candidate brain, the person she needs to go seek out would be the state attorney general. The adjutant general is a military person, so you would not get any satisfaction there. And then in regards to your question that I'm finding, and I've been all over the district,
yeah,
as you are probably well aware. And by and large, there's just like, and it's just not in this community. I'm talking to other candidates, even across the country. The apathy is just a prevailing theme from community to community across the country. Unless there's a really hotly contested race, or there's issues that people have just so up in arms and inflamed over.
Mm-hmm.
It's more about we're all happy to sit around and talk about around the water cooler and in our cubes and at our kitchen tables and, you know, the family reunions about this, that, and the other. But unless our house is on fire personally, right. I don't see a lot of motivation on the part of the people to do more than just talk about it. And so my message now, since I have the opportunity to do that, if you really, really want to see some change, only you can affect that. And the only way you can do it, it's so simple, is on November 4th, just go out and vote, okay?
Sarah will be our last caller with Kat Ping, Republican. We're running for 7th District Congress. Sarah, you got 1 minute.
Sure. Kat, do you plan on caucusing with the Tea Party or with the Republican Party if you are elected?
Great question.
Well, that is a great question. You know, I've had some discussions with the Tea Party folks, and I'm not a part of their community, even though I understand them and I applaud what they're trying to do in some measure. But I tend to be more conservative on the Republican side. But by and large, I really like to consider myself an independent thinker and don't think really along party lines as much as I like to think of I'm representing the people, whatever the people's needs may be.
Our standard closing question, Kat Ping, with all candidates, whether they're Democrat, Republican, nonpartisan, school board, or what have you, is if people want more information about your campaign, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, you can please contact me at www.katping.com. I actually respond to all emails personally because they come to me personally, so that'd be real simple. And then I have a Facebook page, which is also Kat Ping for Congress.
Kat Ping is the Republican candidate for 7th District Congress. And again, 7th District is all of Decatur, Perry, Franklin, Warren, Wayne, and Center Townships, and parts of Pike, Washington, and Lawrence Townships. Thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have you.
Thank you, Amos. I really enjoyed the show.